in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation.
Is it when the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. Ah, my God, there is a glory storm. Liga babaronde bababa, alabaya, a glory storm, a collision. Jatakila bakatai, the God of glory thundereth. Ilabado sepetena, ilayagabagadai. We have been ushered into greater dimensions of glory. Liababonde gebaya, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed in this new season like never before. Is a heavier weight. Is a greater glory. Baliala bakando borabakatai. Manda kuska labatai.
Let the weight of your glory fall.
Intimacy, help me.
Let it cover all the earth.
Elaya bakasa.
Let the weight of your glory.
My God, the glory of God is in this place. I want you to just connect. Open your heart and connect and just worship.
Let the weight of your glory fall.
There is a release of greater glory. Lift up your hands and just worship him. Hi. There is a dimension of glory like a time bomb that is about to explode in our lives and in this place. There is a heavy weight. My kapura bakasana sedo boksha. There is somebody here. I'm seeing the glory of the Lord like an eruption within your spirit, like a river without vent, like an undammed river. There is an explosion. There is an overflowing. He said, "The glory of the Lord shall be revealed." The Lord said, "The glory of the Lord is about to be revealed in your life." And all flesh shall see is about to find manifestation like an undammed river. The river of glory is flowing, is flowing, is set loose.
Shalabakonde Gebalatai. Help them. Manda Balakida. There is someone. I'm seeing a turmoil within your spirit. There's about to be an explosion. An explosion of God's power. An explosion of God's glory. An explosion of the weight of glory you carry. Ligabatai. Something within you is about to break loose. Something within you is about to prosper. Manda Gabalatai. Zebilatatolia. Agabakadiki Balatai. The Lord said, come up here. You have dwelt long enough in this mountain. I'm seeing people changing levels. I'm seeing people ascending new heights. You are rising. You are rising. You are rising. You are ascending new heights. New plane. The Lord said, come up here. Under this glory, come up here. Ascend to new heights. Kabala to sebeketena. Ayala bagonde gebaha. The glory of the Lord is in this place. Come and drink of this river of glory. Jali alabakatai. Erogo bokonde gebadai. The reign of glory is here. Ilabado sepetena. Manda baruda kapata. Ilayagabadai. He said, you will carry my glory. You will manifest my glory like never before. Like never before. To the ends of the earth. All nations, all tribes, all tongues, they will see my glory upon you. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. The glory of God is rolling away your shame, rolling away your reproach. No more shame. No more reproach. No more disfavor. Every negative cloud of calamities and tragedies, the glory of God is rolling them away. Because you are here. Because you are here.
Because you are here.
Because you are here. Because you are here. Because you are here. Because you are here.
Because you are here.
Because you are here. Because you are here. Because you are here,
because you are here,
because you are here,
because you are here,
because you are here.
Just lift up your hands and just honor and reverence His mighty presence in this place. Just go ahead and honor His mighty presence. I'm telling you, the Lord is in this place and we know it. Mandi kobo sabaka toneke telebo rakatia. God have come to promote us. Aya. He said, when the Lord shall build up Zion, He shall appear in His glory. There is a greater dimension of glory. There is a heavier weight of His glory that the Lord is releasing upon us in this season. Mandaliko Vabagadia. The month of August is going to be an unusual month. For a heavy higher and a greater dimension of glory is being released upon us. You will see and manifest my glory like never before. And you will see and manifest my power like never before. And you will carry my presence and glory to all places and to all peoples. Thank you, Father. Oh, Father, we worship you. Lord, we honor you. We adore you. Kiloboko sefila barakonde sivrahadia. There is an upgrade in the spirit. I'm telling you, the spirit of glory is in this place. The spirit of glory is upon us. Malida bo shalabate montoska bratakatai. This is a word for somebody. He say, you have dwelt long enough in this mountain. The God of glory, the Lord of glory, has come to move you forward. He say, you have dwelt long enough in this mountain. And your time of promotion and divine upgrade and supernatural change of level is now. Not by human might, it won't happen by human power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Konda rasko fratila batona kaparakatai. There is a divine upgrade. God is beautifying people's life by his glory. Oh yes, he's giving you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. Hey, your days of mourning are over. The voice of lamentation shall no more be heard in your life. He said, refrain your voice from weeping. Kalido baraska pande kepalatia. Your season of reward has come. Your season of honor has come. With this glory comes honor. Your every garment of shame and reproach is taken off. Your suffering days are over. The glory of God is decorating your life with honor, with dignity. Mande bora bakasa bara kunde kila brande keposha. Thank you, Father. Kai, I'm seeing burdens being lifted from people. I'm seeing burdens. I'm seeing weight. I don't know which weight and burden you came here with. Oh, I don't know. Financial burdens are being lifted. Health burdens are being lifted by the anointing. Every form of burden is being lifted. Family burden, marital burdens, academic burdens, burdens in your career and job, they are being lifted. He said, it shall come to pass in that day, his burden, Satan's burden, shall be lifted from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed by reason of the anointing. The burdens are lifted now. Satanic burdens are lifted now. Every yoke is destroyed. Financial yokes are destroyed. The yoke of sickness and disease is destroyed. The yoke of bondage and addiction is destroyed. The yoke of debt is destroyed. The yoke of begging and borrowing is destroyed. Every satanic yoke is destroyed. Burdens are lifted. Konda barakataya. Mondi la ko segedia. My God, God is taking away burdens. Lidaboshakapata. He said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God is taking away your burdens. He's taking away your burdens. He's removing every yoke. And he's ushering you into a new season of rest. The Lord is saying rest. Supernatural rest and refreshing. In the name of Jesus. No more burdens. No more heavy load. Kalido Balatia. He said, cast all your cares upon the Lord. The Lord is taking them away. Malabo Sovradia. Whatever has made you to shed tears in private, whatever had made you cry in private, whatever has kept you awake in the night, not to pray but to worry and to cry, the Lord is taking them away. They have been undone now. On this mountain, every burden is dissolved. Every burden is removed. And every yoke is destroyed. By reason of the anointing. Shamali Kobo Ragadia. Father, we give you praise. Thank you. Konda Barakataya. Thank you, Jesus. We honor and reverence your presence. Let the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. What we don't know, teach us. Grant us eyes that see, ears that hear, hearts that understand. Let our life never remain the same. In Jesus' name. Come on, clap your hands, oh ye people. I say, clap your hands, oh ye people. Clap your hands, oh ye people. Come on, shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. Come on, shout glory. Let me welcome your neighbor to your right, to your left. Say welcome in God's presence. Welcome to the grand finale of Walking in the Spirit teaching series, part 3. You might be seated. Galatians 5:16. Galatians 5:16. Walking in the Spirit, part 3. This teaching series, by the way, has been a huge blessing. Has been a huge blessing to so many from the messages, the feedback I'm getting, and the testimony I'm receiving. It's been a huge blessing. Not just those that are here, even those outside of this place, as many that have been listening to the messages across the world. Hallelujah. Our messages are really touching and transforming lives, and we give God the praise. Galatians 5:16. It said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. It said, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now jump to verse 25. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Verse 25. He said, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Christianity is a life in the Spirit. He said, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Glory to God. Let us live our life in the Spirit and also operate in the Spirit. Let us live Spirit-led lives. Let us walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Hallelujah. Now, go back to that verse 16. Look at I want you to notice the order. It said, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Many Christians are struggling with the lust of the flesh. Many are fighting the lust of the flesh,
But look at the simple formula for taming the flesh. Look at the simple formula for subduing the flesh, putting it under, overcoming the lust of the flesh. Look at the formula. It says what? This I say then, walk in the Spirit. When you walk in the Spirit, he said, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It will not be a struggle. Am I communicating? Because you will come under the government of the Spirit. Am I communicating? You will end up doing the dictates, as in you are regulating and conducting your life. How? Through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, through the leading of the Spirit, based on God's word, of course. As in, you are living your life based on the dictates of the Holy Spirit, through your human spirit, based on the word of God. He said, when you do that, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You will not give in to the desires of the flesh. You will not be overcome by what? Fleshly lust. Am I communicating? It did not say, this scripture did not say, try not to fulfill the lust of the flesh so that you can walk in the Spirit. Did you notice the scripture did not say that? Because that's what some Christians are trying to do. They have put the cart before the horse, as in they change the order. Watch how some Christians are trying to live their life. They are using willpower to try to fight the lust of the flesh so that they can now walk in the Spirit. But that's not what this scripture says. It didn't say you should struggle to overcome or struggle to deal with using your own human power or your willpower. You should deal with the lust of the flesh so that you can walk in the Spirit. No. If you are doing that, it's going to be a luta continua with no guarantee of victory, because you can never win that way. You can't win that way. So stop struggling to overcome the lust of the flesh using your willpower or in your own human ability. If you can do it on your own, then you don't need the Holy Spirit. God wouldn't have given you His Spirit. He wouldn't have said you should walk in the Spirit. The all-wise God knows that there is no way you can overcome this fleshly lust. There's no way you cannot fulfill the lust of the flesh except by walking in the Spirit. So let me preach it to your neighbor. Say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So which one comes first? Walking in the Spirit. When you walk in the Spirit, you control, you tame, you subdue the lust of the flesh. It will not be an issue. The problem is when you are not walking in the Spirit. So anytime you catch yourself falling into sin, you catch yourself manifesting the works of the flesh, what is the diagnosis? You are not walking in the Spirit. You have strayed out of the Spirit's work. Am I communicating? So that order is very important. Glory to God. Walking in the Spirit is the most intimate way of walking with God. It is the most intimate way of walking with God. And by the way, God is a spirit. In John chapter 4, verse 24, we learned that Jesus said God is a spirit. In his discussion with the Samaritan woman at the well. He said, God is the spirit. They were discussing about worship. He says, God is the spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Am I communicating? Now, God is a spirit. The only way you can walk with God is by walking in the spirit, because God himself is a spirit being. Am I communicating? You can't walk with a spirit being by walking in the flesh. It doesn't work. It will never work. How can you walk with God, who is a spirit being, and you want to achieve that, you want to successfully walk with him, but you are walking in the flesh? Does it work? It won't work. You have to walk in the spirit, because that's God's nature. That is who he is. He is a spirit. Tell your neighbor, say, because God is a spirit, you've got to walk in the spirit. That's how you walk with God. Bible talked about Enoch. Is it an Enoch walked with God? How did he do that? He did that because he understood that God is a spirit. So he had to walk in the spirit. And he did it by faith. Praise God. I said, praise God. I've thought that man is a tripartite being. Man is a spirit. He has a soul. He lives in his body. Man is a spirit. He has a soul. And he lives in his body. Praise God. I say, praise God. Now, if you remember in the Old Testament, the tabernacle of Moses, the tabernacle of witness that God instructed Moses to build, that tabernacle had three parts. There is the outer court, there is the holy place, then there is the holy of holies, or the holiest of all. Now, you can liken those three parts to the three tripartite man. Am I communicating? We say man is a spirit, he has a soul, and he lives in his body. Now, see the body of man like the outer court. It can be likened to the outer court of Moses' tabernacle. See the soul of man as the holy place. Then see the spirit of man as the holy of holies. Now, where does God dwell? Where did God dwelt? Where did God dwell in the tabernacle of Moses? Where was the ark of the covenant, the ark of God's presence that represented the presence of God with them? Where was it located? Was it the outer court? Was it the holy place? Where was it located? Holy of holies. And in the New Testament, he said, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And where does the Holy Spirit dwells? In your spirit. If I is united with your spirit as one. That's why I said, see the analogy I'm giving you. See in this analogy, see that holy of holies as the spirit of man. And that is where God dwells. And I thought last week that God leads us from within. The spirit of man is the candle of God. The more you are God inside minded, the more you are sensitive to the leadings from within, the easier it is to walk with God. You see, God does not lead us from outside in the New Testament. He leads us from inside, because he dwells inside of us in the person of the Holy Spirit. Am I communicating? So we receive those leadings, those promptings, those divine signals. We hear his voice, everything from within. From within. That's why we say you should be spiritually minded. Don't be carnally minded. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Am I communicating? This is very important. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Now, I conclude this teaching series today. I'll talk about the evidence of walking in the Spirit. Now, if you are walking in the Spirit, there are certain things that must show. There are certain signs that we will see on the outside. There are certain tokens that proves that you are walking in the Spirit. Am I communicating? What are the evidence or evidences of walking in the Spirit? What are those signs that show that you are walking in the Spirit? An absence of those signs also means you are not walking in the Spirit. Am I communicating? If someone is walking in the Spirit, there are telltale signs that proves that. Am I communicating? That attest to that fact. Number one, the first evidence, the number one sign that shows that you are walking in the Spirit is revelation knowledge of God. You get to know Him. When you walk in the Spirit, you come to the revelation of who God is. Am I communicating? This is the number one evidence that you are walking in the Spirit. You know, even in the physical, if you walk closely and intimately with anybody, whether it is your wife or your husband, if you are married, or your friend, a close friend, an intimate friend, something like that, it's just a matter of time. The more you walk with the person, the more you get to know them. Am I communicating? You get to know their character. You get to know their person. You get to know their nature. You get to know their attribute. So it's a similar thing. When you walk with God, you come to know Him experientially. I'm not talking about theoretical knowledge of God. Am I communicating? You know, there are many people that know God in theory. They just know Him in theory, but they don't know Him experientially. They don't know Him by revelation. They only have head knowledge of God. And I'm telling you, head knowledge of God will not help you, especially in this day and age that we are living in, that the kingdom of darkness is working over time. The spirit of the Antichrist is working over time. They are doing everything to frustrate Christianity in the world. Am I communicating? Persecution here and there, making mockery of the Christian faith here and there. Am I communicating? In this day and age in which iniquity abound, you know, Satan is walking over time because he knows his time is short. And as the rapture of the church draws closer, these things have been prophesied that they will happen. Am I communicating? Hear of wars and rumors of war, all manner of things taking place. Your stronghold is your knowledge, not head knowledge, revelation knowledge of God. See, revelation knowledge of God is what sponsors concrete conviction. You know, there are so many Christians that their Christianity lack conviction. You know why? Because they don't know God yet. They only know Him in theory, but they don't know Him personally. They don't know Him experientially. They've never encountered God, whether it is through His word, revelation knowledge of His word, or through the person of the Holy Spirit. They've not come to that experiential knowledge of God that comes through divine encounters, maybe from the word of God or from the Holy Spirit. Am I communicating? Because they don't know God, they easily compromise. When people compromise, it shows that they lack conviction concerning what they claim to believe. If you say you truly believe in God and you know God, you will not compromise your faith. You will not compromise. Why are many Christians compromising their faith? Because they have shallow knowledge of God, or they don't even know Him. Job chapter 42 verse 5. Look at what Job said. He said, I have heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but now, somebody say now, my eye seeth thee. He's talking of coming to know God experientially. Revelation knowledge of God. He said, I have heard of thee. Many of us have heard of God. We were taught even from Sunday school. There are many Christians like that. They have heard of Him. They have heard about God, but they don't know Him. They know about Him, but they don't know Him. There is a difference between knowing about somebody and knowing the person. You only get to know the person when you encounter them. When you have a revelation of who they are. When you come to know their character. You come to know their nature, their attribute. You come to encounter their person. Am I communicating? It will clear every form of doubt. It will crystallize concrete conviction. Concrete conviction. Even at gunpoint, you cannot deny Him because you know Him. You know that God is no longer a figment of human imagination. God is not one Santa Claus in the distant sky that you were told about. You've gone past all of that. This is no longer Christian religious knowledge, CRK or CRS. You've come to know Him. One day I sat down to think. I asked myself, look at what will happen if all the people that preach to you about God come one day and all of them start apologizing that we lie to you, that God is false, God na scam. All those things we told you about God na scam. There's nothing like God, it doesn't exist. I asked myself, if all those people come and tell me that, will it shake my conviction? And thank God I was able to answer the question. I say it will never shake my conviction. Because I've come to know Him. Beyond what I have heard about Him, I've come to know Him. You see, do you know this God that you say you are serving? Do you know Him? Towards the end of Apostle Paul's ministry, after God had used him mightily, this great apostle wrote almost 2/3 of the New Testament, did so many exploits for God, moved in miracles, signs, wonders, planted churches like water. After all those exploits, towards the end of Apostle Paul's mighty ministry, look at what he said, Philippians 3:10. He said, look at his prayer, that I may know Him. Hey! If somebody should achieve the height of what Apostle Paul achieved in his ministry, it is already a big deal in our day and age. If somebody is to achieve 10% of what Apostle Paul achieved in his ministry, the person will be G.O. in our time. Glory to God. They will be hailing the person all over the place. Social media will go haywire, carrying everything about the person. But look at what Paul said. He said that I may know Him. He didn't say that I may know about Him. Remember, Paul was a Pharisee, by the way. He was a Pharisee, and these people are doctors of the law. They know the law of Moses. In fact, to be a Pharisee, you should be able to recite the Pentateuch, the first 5 books of Moses, off heart. You should be able to recite Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, off heart. It's a very strict sect. They fasted twice every week. Tuesdays and Thursdays are fasting days for the Pharisees. They give alms to the poor. You need to see the criteria to be a Pharisee. It's not easy. So these people know about God. But guess what?
Paul, with all the things he knew about God, he became the chief persecutor of the early church. He was Boko Haram. Paul was a religious zealot. Read your Bible. He was a religious zealot. And he knew about God. You know, there are some religions today that they kill on behalf of God. They kill other people. They will tell you that they are fighting for their God. Religion is a terrible thing. See, in this day and age, religion will not help you. You need first-hand revelation of God from His Word. How do you know God? From His Word, as you walk with Him. You know, we say one of the definitions of walking with God is walking in the light of His Word. Am I communicating? Scriptures come alive. The Holy Spirit illuminates those scriptures. Opens the eyes of your understanding. You come to encounter God from the pages of scripture. And then as you fellowship with the Holy Spirit in prayer, in worship, it brings the presence of God to you. The whole thing comes alive. You come to know God experientially, that He is real. Am I communicating? He is real beyond what you read in books. He is real beyond what stories they told you about God. God is real. Let me tell your neighbor, God is real. When you walk with Him, this is the number one evidence. Revelation knowledge of Him. You come to know Him. And when you know Him, it creates concrete conviction. Somebody say concrete conviction. That cannot be compromised. Unbending, unshakable conviction. Unbending, unyielding. You don't bow to pressure. Just like the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, if you don't bow to King Nebuchadnezzar's golden image, if you don't bow to that image in Babylon, you will burn. They will throw you into the fiery furnace. In fact, the king said, hit the thing 7 times. Why did he tell it to hit? Does it need to be hit 7 times to finish, to suyarize? I say suyarize. Is there any English like that? To burn the person. Why did he say hit it 7 times? Is to make them to be scared. Is to terrify them. Is to put fear in their heart. Because it doesn't need to be hit 7 times. The way the thing is, if you throw somebody, the person will be frightened. It will kill. It's just to scare them. He said hit it 7 times. Then they say, King Nebu. No, they didn't even say king. He said, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful. Hey, tell your neighbor, we are not careful. When it comes to matters of conviction, we are not careful. Even at gunpoint, we are not careful. There are Christians that have denied their faith because they threaten them. Hey, if you don't deny, we'll cut off your head. If you don't deny, renounce Christ, we'll shoot you. Your conviction, jungle will never mature. See, if you are still compromising, the truth is, if you are still compromising your faith, your conviction is not solid enough. You've not known, you don't know Him yet. I'm telling you, when you know Him, you can never deny Him. You can never renounce Jesus. It doesn't matter the threat. They say, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, be it known unto you that our God is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. But even if He does not deliver us, even if He does not deliver us, we will still not bow to your graven image. They know God for themselves. And it has crystallized a rock solid conviction. Concrete conviction. The thing don't set like concrete. Solid, unshakable, unbending, unyielding. If you are still yielding and bowing to sin, it shows that your conviction is not strong enough. You don't know God yet. Am I communicating? You don't know God yet. If you know Him, there are things you will not do now. There are things you will not do. You see some Christians lying they lie like tell lies as a lifestyle. You don't know yet. You don't know him yet. When you know him, you will stop fornicating. I'm telling you. When you know him, your appetite and taste for sin will die. I'm telling you. Hallelujah. Apostle Paul said that I may know him. Philippians 3:10. Give me the amplified version. He said that I may know him. Amplified. Then he said the power of his resurrection. Look at this. He said, for my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and what? Intimately acquainted with him. Perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. Kai! And that I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers, that I may so share his suffering so as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness, even to his death, in the hope. Aya. Can you see this? Say, I receive grace to know God. Daniel 11:32, before the people that do know their God. Hey! For the people, do we have such people in the house? For the people that do know their God, not those that know about their God, not those that they were told about their God, the people that do know their God, they know him, they are deeply acquainted with him through fellowship. By walking with him, they have come to know him experientially. They have come to know him in practical terms, not in theory. They have come to know him and they are deeply acquainted. Say, they shall be strong in these end times. They shall not lack strength. They shall be strong and they shall do what? Exploit. And you need that strength for exploits. The people that do know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do what? Exploits. People that are acquainted with God, people like Job, despite all what Job passed through, Job, the richest man in the East, the greatest man in the East, by extension, the whole world, the world greatest and richest man of his time, following one demonic attack, he lost everything. Lost all his business, his money, his wealth. Satan came with the second wave of attack. He lost his health. The first wave, he lost his money, finances, business. He lost his family, his children, all of them died. He lost his house, every investment. Second wave of attack, sickness. Satan plagued him with boil from the sole of his feet to the crown of his head. Job was reduced to zero. He sat inside dust, using this thing to scrape those boils. The Bible says, even when some of his acquaintances and friends came to greet him, they couldn't recognize him from afar. I'm telling you, his three friends came to greet him. When they saw his suffering and anguish was too much, this affliction is too much, they couldn't talk to him for 7 days. They just sat with him, morning mood activated, because the pain he was going through inside was too much. His foolish wife looked at Job. He said, what are you still wasting time? He said, curse God and die. His wife said, curse God and die, because she does not know him. Job knew him. Job knew God. He said, though he slay me, even though God was not the one slaying him, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He said, trusting God is a product of knowing him. when you have a revelation knowledge of God, you can trust him. Even when things appear not to be adding up in the physical, when it looks as if you have lost everything, you lost your health, you lost your business, you lost your money, it looked as if the whole world is against you, and Satan and all the demons and even people are advising you, why are you still serving this God? Why are you still going to church? This is your God that cannot help you. This is your God. Is he not watching you suffering? Job said, I know my Redeemer liveth. Aya. Am I communicating? He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. The three Hebrew boys said, we will not bow our God. Even if he does not deliver us, we will still not bow. It doesn't change anything. Our minds are made up. Our stance is clear. Am I communicating? This is very important. Because one of Satan's strategy for making people to depart from the faith is by bringing demonic attacks and affliction and all manner of things. It will attack your finance, attack your health, attack your family, attack your marriage, attack everything, your career, your job. Am I coming? Some people, you know, it's so funny. When the evil day comes, some people, the day they were sacked from office, as they were leaving office, disappointed, discouraged, feeling downcast, with the sack letter in his hand, he received a phone call that, okay, where are you? That your child was just coming, trying to cross the road from school. A car hit him. Right now he's in the hospital. Doctor is saying you should come. The child needs to go for surgery. And then he's on his way going for the surgery. Enter the bike and another car came and hit the bike from behind. And him too, he had an accident and had a fracture. And while he's still trying to manage that one, he received a news that his wife that was pregnant just had a miscarriage. The evil day. What is Satan's goal in doing all of that? Number one, to get you offended at God. He's the one causing all the problem, but he will now come and suggest to you. You say God loves you. Are you sure? See, if God truly loves you, why is he allowing all these bad things that it was the devil that caused? He will now see, his goal is to make you to start getting angry and offended at God. He wants you to blame God for your problem. Problem that Satan himself is behind. As in, he's the one responsible for it. But he wants you to blame God and get mad at God and get offended at God, and for you not to believe in God, not trust him anymore. He wants you to question God's love for you. He wants you to doubt and to disbelieve God's love for you. He wants to separate you from the love of Christ. No wonder Apostle Paul said, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? He gave a long list. He said, shall persecution? No. Tribulation? No. Problems, trials, affliction? No. And then he concluded by saying that he's fully persuaded that not even an angel from heaven. Nothing. Tell your neighbor, nothing. Satan is wasting his time. Nothing. You fail an exam. And so what? God is still God. Somebody say, where was God when I was suffering? You know, this thing has made people leave church. All this kind of thing. It's because they are offended. The root of bitterness has taken hold of them. And who sponsored it? Satan. Never doubt God's love for you. Doesn't matter what you are going through. Am I communicating? Say, no food to eat in the house. Even Apostle Paul, you didn't read, he said, in hunger often. And then he separated it from fasting. You know, there are people out of hunger, they will now convert it to fasting. So since there is no food, let's just let's convert it to fasting. No, don't do that kind of fasting. No. Let me tell you, God, don't do that kind of fasting. Fast because you are led to fast, not because there is no food. Don't fast because of hunger. That's a religious fast. It has no spiritual value. Because the motive is wrong. It only has economic value. At least it has saved you some meals. Praise God. Say, nothing shall be able to separate me from the love of God. God loves me no matter what. God loves me. And his love is everlasting. No challenge can make me question the love of God. I said, no challenge shall make me question the love of God. I think it was this man of God, Reverend Dr. Umar Okpai. He was going for a major crusade. And he lost his whole family, his wife and children, all of them. I forgot, an accident happened. Is it that all of them died? And as a result, and he still went to preach in the crusade. He still went to preach. Do you have that kind of liver? He still went and preached. And souls got saved. People got healed. Things happened. He's a man that just lost his whole family on that trip to go and preach in a crusade. What was Satan's goal? To get him offended at God. If it were somebody else now, another preacher, though. Call, say, please, I won't be able to. I'm not in the right state of mind. You see why God have to train you sometimes. You know, we are soldiers, so you have to be rugged. I say you have to be rugged. Glory to God. In Exodus 3, 1 to 10, Moses encountered God and he was commissioned for his assignment. He got to know God experientially through that encounter, and then God sent him to go and deliver the children of Israel. In Isaiah 6, 1 to 10, this is the funniest one. Prophet Isaiah, a major prophet. You know, you can be prophesying and yet you don't know God. Eh? A good case study is Isaiah, Prophet Isaiah. Do you know Isaiah was prophesying from Isaiah chapter 1 to Isaiah chapter 5? Go and read your Bible. He was prophesying. He was even giving national prophecy. So that somebody is giving national prophecy does not mean they know God. He was calling names and phone numbers, yet he didn't know God. It was in Isaiah chapter 6. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Eh? And then if you read down, he had an encounter for the first time. He got to encounter this God that he was talking about, preaching everywhere. And then he passed a judgment on himself. After encountering the holiness of God, he passed a judgment on himself. He said, woe is me. Now before then, he was the one dashing woes to different territories and nations. Woe to you. Go and read it. He was distributing woes. By the time he encountered God and the holiness of God, my guy said, oh boy, he said, woe is me. I'm undone. Look at it. I'm undone. You know, it's like undone food. It's as if God was cooking him. He jumped out of the pot before time and started manifesting, premature manifestation. He said, I am undone. I, a man of unclean lips, I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the king. You know, today we have so many kind of prophets. No, they are genuine ones, then they are funny ones, fake ones, Facebook, some, we call them Facebook prophets, social media prophets. They will just drop you a DM, a message. Hello, precious daughter of Zion. The Lord just opened my eyes as I was just scrolling through Facebook. As I saw your profile, the Lord just opened my eyes. They'll just start prophesying. We have plenty kind of prophets. They are everywhere. There are those that are standing close to ATM machine. They are just waiting for you to withdraw. And it's not everybody they go and meet. They will first check how much you are withdrawing. If it's the type you just withdraw, put inside your wallet, they won't bother you. By the time they see the one that is withdrawing, put it inside. That is their client or clientele, they call it. They will now start prophesying to you. And those kind of prophets, at the end, they must demand money. Part of that money you withdraw, they must collect their own. No matter how the prophecy do, it must end with what? Money. Either you remove from that one you withdrew, or you go and withdraw their own and give them. They will tell you it's prophet offering. Charlatans. Praise God. I say praise God. I believe in the prophetic. This ministry will believe in the prophetic, but I don't believe in all those typo. I don't believe in all those charlatans and crazy false prophets. Am I communicating? So what is the first evidence that you are walking in the spirit? Divine encounter. What did I say? Revelation, knowledge of God. You come to know Him, and then you know His ways. You come to know God. Exodus 33, verse 12. You come to know God, and you come to know His ways. Moses said unto the Lord, "See, thou seest unto me, bring up these people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send." Okay, move to verse 13. You come to know God, and when you know Him, you know His ways. His ways are revealed to you. A revelation knowledge of His ways. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. Moses was saying, God, show me your way. I don't just want to see your miracles. I want to know how it is produced. Because when you know His ways, it puts you in command of His acts, His miraculous acts, His supernatural acts. Am I communicating? He says, show me now thy way. So when you know God, you will know His modus operandi. You will know how God operates. You will know how He does not operate, and you will know how He operates. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Psalm 103, verse 7. It says, God made known His ways to Moses. Following this encounter, He made known His ways unto Moses and His acts. The act is talking of His miracles, His signs, His wonders. Am I communicating? He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. Which one is superior, His ways or His acts? His ways, because if you know His ways, you can produce His acts even at will. The children of Israel were just seeing all the miracles. They saw the Red Sea parted. They saw manna fell from heaven. They saw all those mighty plagues, those mighty miracles Moses did, but they did not understand the ways of God. They didn't know how it was produced. But Moses understood the ways of God, because he walked in the Spirit. You know, Moses was the first person in the Bible that was called a man of God. No, there's a difference between a preacher and a man of God. Oh, you don't know? There's a difference between a pastor and a man of God. The first person, maybe one of these days we'll teach on that. The first person called a man of God in the Bible was Moses. And he walked with God. This man knew God. He knew God. Hallelujah. I say he knew God. He didn't just know about God. He knew Him by encounter. God told him, He said, I reveal myself to your forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as El Shaddai, the Lord God Almighty. But I'm revealing myself to you as Jehovah. He said, by my name Jehovah, was I not known to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? He said, they knew me as Lord God Almighty, El Shaddai. But me, I'm revealing myself. I'm revealing a dimension of me that they did not know. I'm revealing myself to you as Jehovah, the man of war. Because this is the dimension that is needed to carry out your assignment. If Moses had gone to Egypt and stood before Pharaoh, and all he knew was the dimension of God as El Shaddai, do you think he would have been successful in his assignment? No. He needed that dimension of God as Jehovah, the man of war, because his assignment required spiritual warfare. His assignment requires serious warfare. Am I communicating? He's contending with the powers of ancient Egypt. And Egypt was the headquarters of Jazz those days. Headquarters of sorcery, headquarters of magic, headquarters of anything you can think of was Egypt. Egypt was the first world power. Egypt was, in fact, civilization began from Egypt. Go and read history. They were number one in military might, number one in sorcery, magic, dark art, dark magic, astrology, name it. Egypt was number one. In terms of science, technology, architecture, archaeology, Egypt was number one. God said, I'm sending you to go and bring them out. And I'm revealing the dimension of myself as Jehovah. Hallelujah. Say, I receive grace to know God. He said, that I may know him. This is the first. Number two, evidence. Divine transformation. The first one, I said, revelation knowledge of God. The second one is divine transformation. The second evidence of walking in the Spirit is that you will be divinely transformed. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 12 verse 2. Somebody should open for me Mark 1:17, the Passion Translation. Mark 1:17, the Passion Translation. The person opening that Passion Translation, let me know when you are there. Okay, but before then, let's read Romans 12 verse 2. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. The Greek word is metamorphi. Metamorphi. Meta means change in the Greek. Meta, change. Morphi, form. Change of form. Am I communicating? Change of state. Okay? Literally. From where they get the word metamorphosis. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, or be ye metamorphosed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Listen, the second evidence of walking in the Spirit is that you will be transformed. You will be divinely transformed. Your mind will be transformed. You begin to think God's thoughts. You begin to speak. See, you begin to think like him. You begin to talk like him. You begin to act like him. You begin to behave like him. You become Christ-like. You become transformed. Am I communicating? Into his nature. You begin to conform to his mindset. You conform to the image of the Son of God. Am I communicating? Transformation. The proof that you have encountered God is transformation. The end product of even the first one I mentioned, revelation knowledge, the end product of knowing God is transformation. The end product of every divine encounter is transformation. The end product of experiential knowledge of God is transformation. Transformation is proof that you are walking in the Spirit. So, when we see your life, when we see the ongoing transformation, positive changes, your mindset being transformed by God's word, when we see that your mind is being renewed, when we see that your mindset is becoming what the Bible calls the mind of Christ, as in you are now operating with the mind of Christ, we know that indeed you are walking in the Spirit. Am I communicating? Be transformed. Don't be conformed. Tell your neighbor, don't be conformed. Don't allow the world to squeeze you into their mold. Don't be conformed to the world system, but be transformed. Let God change you. A translation says, let God change you into a different person by changing the way you think. Hey, let God change you into a different person by changing the way you think. And how does it change the way you think? Is by using His word to renew your mind. Replace those old thoughts and belief system with scriptural thoughts, superior truths from scriptures. You learn to study and meditate on God's word. 2 Corinthians 3:8, it says, we all, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God, are being changed into the same image from glory to glory. Am I communicating? 2 Corinthians 3:18, we all, with open or unveiled face, beholding or mirroring as in a glass. That glass is a mirror of God's word. As we mirror the glory of the Lord, we are changed. That word change is still that word metamorphosed, transformed, transfigured. It's a complete total change from inside out. It's a complete total change from what? Inside out. Am I communicating? You are changed into the same image that you are beholding from glory to glory by the agency of the Holy Spirit. So as you meditate on the word of God, there is an ongoing transformation. As you feed and digest and assimilate the word, there is an ongoing transformation by the power of the Holy Ghost. By the power of the Holy Ghost, you become more and more Christ-like. We know the degree to which you are transformed by the degree to which you are Christ-like in your character, you are Christ-like in your conviction, you are Christ-like in your charisma, you are Christ-like in your capacity and competence. See, Christianity is not a religion. There is religion in Christianity, but Christianity is more than a religion. James told us the religion in Christianity. He says it's to visit the fatherless and to help people when they are in affliction. That's the religion in Christianity. But Christianity itself is more than a religion. Christianity is the life of God reproduced and revealed in a human person, in character, in conviction, in charisma, in competence, in capacity. Kai, this definition, write it down. You know the Google, you will not see it in YouTube. Christianity is the life of God reproduced and revealed in a human person, in conviction, in character, in charisma, in competence, and in capacity. In other words, you are Christ-like in your conviction. You are Christ-like in your character. You are Christ-like in your charisma. You are Christ-like in your competence and capacity. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Divine transformation, the second evidence of walking in the Spirit. So we'll check your character. Is it Christ-like? The more you walk with God, the more you become more and more like Him. The more you be, you know, over time, husband and wife that are truly intimate with each other, they start looking alike. You know, some people have told me that me and my wife, we resemble. The thing is usually funny to me. I said, you mean we resemble? Before we got married, they did not speak like that, though. Why are we beginning to look alike in their eyes? It's because of intimacy. Because we walk together, as in not physical walk, I mean intimacy, fellowship. So the more you are intimate with God, the more you become like Him vitally. You become more and more like Him. Your character becomes Christ-like. All those yeye character you were manifesting, it will start changing. It will start changing. Maybe you like to cool off every day after work. You like to cool off with small stout. Some people say, at least, Papa, my own are small stout, not be the big one. God is helping me small, small. Say, now nah, I'm now mixing the thing with Coke. Before it's just the stout. Now I'm mixing it with Coke. It's a sign that there's transformation. Say, maybe before you mix, you know, but as transformation goes, that's why you should keep hearing God's word, though. See, the word of God solves so many problems in your life that you don't know of. Ah, yeah. It transforms your mind. You become more and more Christ-like. So that instead of taking small stout, you now start taking Maltina and Coke and other soft drinks instead of alcoholic drinks. Maybe you were smoking before, but as that transformation takes place, before you know, cigarette will fall off from your hands. Cigarette, instead of holding cigarette, you start holding mic to preach using megaphone. You start using megaphone. Is that preaching? Praise God. You stand in Terminus Market. Jesus is alive. Give your life to Christ. Is it not a fight? Say, not be fight, but not fight. Praise God. Eh? Somebody say transformation. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is for character. See, the fruit of the... See, character has to do with the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Galatians 5:22. You know those fruit of the Spirit? Love and all its varied expression, joy, peace, all of that. They are talking about the fruit of the Spirit. It's for character development. I told you there's a difference between the gift of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, they are cultivated. As you fellowship with God through His word and in prayer, you cultivate them over time. The gift of the Spirit, they are coveted. It says covet earnestly. So fruit are cultivated, gifts are coveted. The fruit of the Spirit is for character development, Christ-like character. The gift of the Spirit is empowerment for ministry, empowerment for kingdom service. Am I communicating? The fruit of the Spirit is the foundation for operating in the gift of the Spirit. If you are operating in the gift of the Spirit and you lack the manifestation of the fruit, you will soon crash. It's like building a house without foundation. The house will crack, the house will collapse. Your success in life and ministry will never last without that solid foundation of the fruit of the Spirit. Am I communicating? Am I communicating? You know, there are some funny people that after preaching mightily in a great meeting, saw all manner of things, manifestation and all of that. Guest minister, man of God in quote, of faith and power. Then he will return back to his hotel and he will demand for two girls to chill off. To cool off. They say it's what do they even call itself in South Africa? Warmer. Say bring white warmer and black warmer. Let them massage my back. It's no easy. After preaching crusade, like you know, is you something must kill a man. You see, these are the things that happen. Even if the person is genuine, the problem is what they are lacking. Where the fruit of the Spirit, no character. There are some people that when they go and minister in some places, they leave behind pregnant women. I'm telling you. And people are leaving behind blessings. Then they are leaving behind pregnant women. And this pregnant woman is both singles and married. Though. Even people's wives have been impregnated. These are things that happen when people lack the fruit of the Spirit in manifestation. There are prophets that prophesy and then they later prophesy. You know what it means to prophesy? There is what we call prophetic manipulation. They manipulate people, defraud people. Some have collected landed properties worth millions from people using prophetic manipulation in the name of the Lord. The only difference between them and armed robbers is that the armed robber is standing on the highway with gun. Them, they are robbing people in what? In the name of the Lord. Some have robbed people of their cars, houses. Some have even robbed people of their husbands and wives. You see this woman you marry? She's not the will of God for you. Meanwhile, he has eyes on her. Hey, Papa prophesy. After the man has chased away his wife, he kicked the wife like ball out. Say, Prophet X, Y, and Z said you are not the will of God. In fact, you are a witch. He said you are a witch. You are the one stopping my progress. Ah! So I've been suffering. Is this witch at home? He said, Prophet, thank you. Today she's leaving my house. He chased away the wife. And then he kicked her like ball. Then the prophet catch the ball. He catch the ball. She has now become his concubine, sex slave, scattering marriages. You know, one of the ways Jesus said we will know false prophet is by their fruit. Now, that fruit there is not the fruit of manifestation of power and all of that too, or prophecy. It's the fruit of character. That's what Jesus is saying. Check the fruit of their character. If you cannot see the fruit of the Spirit manifesting, then run for your life. By their fruit you shall know them. Is there character? No. Rather, you will now be seeing character of Satan in manifestation. Negative fruit. By their fruit. Check the resultant outcome of their ministration in the lives of the people. By the time they are leaving pregnant people around, leaving all manner of negative things after the minister, then you know there is problem, right? There is problem. Defrauding people, manipulating people, lying to people. Say, by their fruit you shall what? You shall know them. Hallelujah. So before you start manifesting the gift of the Spirit, make sure you have the right foundation. Okay? So we said the first evidence of walking in the Spirit is what? Revelation, knowledge of God. You get to know Him. Number two, divine transformation. You become more and more Christ-like in character, in conviction, in charisma, competence, and capacity. And this will lead to healthy spiritual growth and development. Okay? Transformation will lead to what? Spiritual growth, mental growth, and development. You begin to grow in a healthy way spiritually. Hallelujah. So, we can measure. Okay, let me put it this way. We can know that you are walking in the Spirit by the growth we are seeing in your life. The spiritual growth, the mental growth,
the spiritual development and the mental development that is taking place. From the teaching of God's word, from your fellowship with the Holy Spirit, there must be growth. Am I communicating? I said there must be growth. You cannot be walking with God and not be growing spiritually. The evidence of transformation is growth and development. There must be personal growth and development, spiritually, mentally, and otherwise. Glory to God. Mark 1:17. Are we there? The Passion Translation. Who is reading that Passion Translation for me? Protocol, get mic for the person. Mike. Yes, sir. Mark 1:17, the Passion Translation. Hallelujah. Are you learning something?
Okay. Mark chapter 1, verse 17, the Passion Translation.
Yes, sir.
And said to them, come follow me, and I will transform you into men.
Did you hear that? Take it again. He said, come follow me, and I will what?
And I will transform you.
Transform you
into men.
Who into catch? Men. Yes, sir. Come. Pastor Shola, come. He said, come follow me. In other words, as you come follow him, as you walk with him, what will happen?
I will transform you. Into men.
Into men.
Who catch people.
Who catch people.
Instead of fish.
Instead of fish. Glory to God. This was after the miraculous catch of fish, Peter and his brother, Andrew. Glory to God. So as you follow him, as you walk with him, you are transformed. And then you become. You are transformed to become. I say you are transformed to become. You evolve into superior version of yourself so that you can fulfill your calling and your destiny. Glory to God. In Luke 9:28, Jesus, as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered at the Mount of Transfiguration, and his garment became white and glistering. In Matthew 17, verse 2, Matthew recounting that same story of transfiguration, say, as Jesus prayed, he was transfigured. That transfigured is that same word for metamorphosis. He was transformed. He was transfigured. So, you are transformed as you meditate on God's word. You are transformed as you spend time in prayer, in communion with God. Hallelujah. What's the third evidence of walking in the Spirit? Real Bible faith. I say real Bible faith. Genesis 5:24, and Enoch walked with God and he was not. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Hebrews 11 verse 5. He said, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Then verse 6, he said, for without faith, it is impossible to please God. And he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Look up. Another evidence that you are walking in the Spirit is that your faith life will start growing. Real Bible faith will start manifesting in your life. You will start operating in the God kind of faith. Am I communicating? The faith of the Son of God will begin to find expression in your life. Faith will come alive. As you fellowship with God, real Bible faith is born. Real Bible faith is born out of deep fellowship with God. Fellowship is the mother of faith. You know, Kenneth Hagin made a very profound statement. Kenneth Hagin is said to be the father of the modern faith movement. Look at what he said. He said, fellowship with God is the mother of faith. To be a person of great faith, you must be a man of deep fellowship with God. So Enoch walked with God. He fellowshiped with God. He communed with God. He was so intimate with God that his faith came alive. And by faith, he was translated. He was caught up and transferred to heaven. That was a type and shadow of the rapture of the church. The first typology of rapture, the first example of rapture in the Old Testament was when Enoch was caught up alive. Am I communicating? He experienced his own private rapture. And the Bible says it was translated by faith. You know, if you study the book of Enoch, don't go and study. Some people, you never finish Bible. Finish this one. Understand this one. Some people, that's the only one they will hear out of this message. They say, Papa, say, go and study the book of Enoch. I know Apostle Paul and some other people quoted from the book of Enoch here and there, but it's not one of the canonical scripture. It's non-canonized. Okay? So that means it's not everything that is accepted there. Okay? So don't go and now say, Papa, say, Moku, read book of Enoch. That is how some people have dabbled into occultism. Glory to God. Stick with this one. Okay? Now, Bible scholars said, Enoch was a man that was so intimate with God that it is said that in his time, you know, he walked with God for like 300 years after he gave birth to his son, Methuselah, and some other children. You know, Methuselah, the oldest man that lived, was Enoch's son. It was a flood that came and wiped Methuselah. Methuselah was alive when that flood came. He refused to die. It was a flood that died him. Pardon my English. Now, his own father walked with God for 300 years. Enoch lived on earth for 365 years before he was caught up. Now, Bible scholar said, he so walked with God that he will be in communion with God for days. That for 1 week like this, 6 days, you will not see Enoch coming out. He will be communing with God. And then one out of those 7 days, one day in a week, he will now come out and start telling people about God and sharing his encounters and all of that. That was how he started. Then from that one day out of 1 week, it graduated to one day out of 1 month. That's all the days of the month he's in communion with God. He will now come out only one day out of the whole month and then tell people about God and his encounter. From there, he graduated to once in a year. That's for one whole year, people will not see Enoch. He's communing with God. He will come out only once in a year to tell people about God and his encounter. The fellowship became so intimate. Even God was enjoying Enoch's company. God said, Kai, is there Enoch? Come up, Peter. Come. That was how he was translated by faith. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Elijah was another man that walked with God. And the Bible said, horses and chariots of fire came and carried him alive. Marched out of this earth. Glory to God. Real Bible faith. Genesis 17 verse 1, God told Abraham, he said, walk before me and be blameless. And Abraham became the father of faith. Romans 4:12, we were admonished to walk in the steps of Abraham, who is the father of faith. Galatians 3, 6 and 7, it says, Abraham believed God, it was accounted him for righteousness. He said, they which be of faith, they are blessed with faithful Abraham. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, as you fellowship with God, faith comes alive. And then you begin to walk by faith. You live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Glory to God. Never forget this. Fellowship with God is the mother of true Bible faith. Faith is not a mental, it's not a philosophical or mental thing. Faith is of the spirit. It is born out of communion. And then you now release the faith in your heart through your words and your corresponding deeds.
what we call corresponding action of faith. James said, faith without works is dead. Am I communicating? So there are corresponding actions to show when you are operating in faith. The fourth evidence of intimacy with God is your love and passion for God and the things of God. Your love and passion for God and the things of God. When you are walking in the Spirit, you will love God, you will express that love, you will be passionate about God, you will be passionate about the things of God, you will love the Word of God. You cannot love God and not love His Word. I say you cannot love God and not love His Word. When you are walking in the Spirit, you will love the presence of God, you will love the Word of God, you will love the house of God, the church. You cannot be walking in the Spirit and you hate the church. You will love the house of God, you will love the people of God. In Psalm 42 verse 1, David said, as a deer pant after the water brooks, so longeth my soul for thee. He was longing for God. He was a passionate lover of God, David. Another example of a man that walked in the Spirit. You become a lover of His presence. Psalm 63 verse 1, he said, O Lord my God, David said, early will I seek thee. My soul longed for thee, my flesh cried out for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory. Hallelujah. You'll be hungry for God, you'll be passionate for God. Spiritual hunger, passionate love. In 1 John chapter 4 verse 19, he said, we love Him, that's we love God, because He first loved us. Our love for God is a response to His love for us. It starts with His love for us. He said, we know and have believed the love that God has for us. But don't just stop there. Don't just stop at knowing and believing the love that God has for you. After receiving of His love, you need to reciprocate by loving Him back. Am I communicating? We love Him in response to His love for us. Apostle Paul said, anyone that does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha. Let him be cursed till Jesus comes. Anathema maranatha. Am I communicating? What is the proof of love? Obedience. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandment. If you love me, obey my word. Obey my instruction. Do what I say. Glory to God. The proof of love is not romantic feelings. The proof of love is obedience. If you love God, you will obey Him. Period. If you are not a doer of His word, you don't obey His instruction, you don't obey His leading and prompting, you don't love Him. Praise God. Love for God talks about honor and reverence for God. When you love Him, you will honor Him. When you love Him, you will reverence Him. You will fear God. You will fear God. You know, Pastor E. Adeboyo preached on the fear of God. And then, you know, we these young ministers that we think we know too much. Eh? We these young ministers, we should be careful, oh. Zeal, too much zeal. Calm down. Be calming down. Calm all the way down. The young minister, you know, different, you know, the Greek word for fear, he was trying to correct what Pastor E. Adeboye said. Eh? He was trying to correct using Greek and Hebrew and Latin and Aramaic. So E. Adeboye said, well, me, I don't know Greek, but all I say is that after doing all the Greek and Hebrew, make sure you fear God. Hey, glory to God. Everything, but make sure you fear God.
You know, do you know why Joseph refused the offer of Mrs. Potiphar? Mrs. Potiphar was, the Bible scholar said, she was drop down so beautiful. She has all the cuffs and everything. You know, sir? She came and offered herself free of charge. Just imagine the average Christian today get that kind of offer. You understand? Offered herself. Sleep with me. He said, I fear God. Oh. You know, the Bible says, through the fear of God that people depart from sin. It's the fear of God that makes you depart from sin. Am I communicating? You know, if you love somebody, you don't want to offend the person. I say, if you love somebody, you don't want to do anything that will offend or vex the person or make the person sad. So if you truly love God, you will avoid doing things that saddens him or that will vex or offend or grieve him. Am I communicating? He said, how can I? Joseph said, how can I do this wicked thing? He said, my oga, Mr. Potiphar, put me in charge of all his business, in charge of all his household. He said, I'm in charge of everything in this house. The only person he did not put me in charge is you, madam, because you are his wife. How can I now do this wicked thing? He calls it wicked thing. See, you need to call sin sin, especially this our generation. They have euphemisms for terrible things. So they now call prostitution hookup. Olosho. Which other one again? Runs girls. You see them, they are no longer just standing on the road. They are now on social media. You see them dancing half naked, naked on TikTok, looking for customers. Do you understand? They use all manner of euphemism. They call bribe. What do they call bribe now? Eh? Grease my palm. Is now, you see, boss will be telling secretary in office, say, you know, if you really want this promotion, you know what to do. You know what to do. Say, in this life, you have to use what you have to get what you want. That's the generation we are living in. They don't want to call sin for what it is. Joseph said, how can I do this great wickedness? He calls it great wickedness. Sleeping with his oga's wife. Praise God. I say praise God. If you love God, you will honor and reference him. You will fear him. And this will make you to hate sin. The fear of God will make you hate sin and depart from iniquity. When you truly love God and you fear him, you will love what he loves and you will hate what he hates. 1 John 2:15. I say, if you love God, you will love what he loves and you will hate what he hates. 1 John 2:15. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Eh? Did you see that? Next verse. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. This is a summary of everything in the cosmos. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. 17. And the world passeth away, and the laws thereof, and he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Glory to God. 2 Timothy 2:19. Is it the foundation of God? 2 Timothy 2:19. The foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ do what? Depart from iniquity. Are you named by the name of Christ? What should you do? Depart from iniquity. You know, the Bible says in this end time, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Say, not me. You will not fulfill negative prophecy. See, Jesus is coming soon. Can't you see what is happening in the world? Can't you see? I stumbled on a prophecy by great man of God, Marion William Branham, as far back as 1940 something. You know, do you know
what is playing out in the U.S. in the U.S. politics, this U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris, do you know Abraham gave a prophecy concerning a woman that will come out that is going to be U.S. either Vice President or President? I read the prophecy, I was surprised. We are living in the end times, so I say we are living in the end times. Do you know, even describe the color of the cloth the woman will wear on the day of her inauguration. He said, I see a woman, she's going to be so powerful, wearing purple. And the day Kamala Harris was sworn in as Vice President, she was wearing purple. You think it's a coincidence? It's not. And right now, she's like the candidate. Joe Biden, the president, has backed down for her and is supporting her. Most of the Democrats and all of that, they are all rooting for her to be the candidate that will represent Democratic Party against Donald Trump, the Republican man, the one that was almost shot, that angel shifted his head. The Lord is with that man. So you know, some people say they don't like him because he talks anyhow, but whether you like him or not, the Lord is with him. Praise God. I say praise God. Hallelujah. What is the fifth proof? Evidence, wisdom and discernment. Okay, wisdom and discernment. Wisdom to discern and to do God's perfect will per time. When you are walking with God, you are endued with wisdom to discern the times and the season. Wisdom to discern and do God's perfect will per time. Isaiah 33 verse 6. Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times. Your life is stabilized by wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom for making the right decision, wisdom for planning, wisdom for success, wisdom for prosperity, wisdom for greatness. 1 Chronicles 12:32. The children of Issachar, they had what? Understanding of the times. They were walking in wisdom for discernment, so they could discern the times and season. They had understanding of the times. They knew what Israel ought to do. The wisdom to know God's program per time, to know what as in you have privileged information into God's will, God's plan, God's purposes. 1 Corinthians 1:24. It says Christ is the power of God and then the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. So we know that you are walking in the Spirit when you are walking in wisdom and you are walking in discernment. Ecclesiastes 8 verse 5. It says, whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing. Look at the B part. Let's read it together. 1, 2, 3, go. A wise man's heart discerneth both what? Time and judgment. You become discerning. You understand what the Spirit is saying in the now. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the church. Discernment is different from suspicion. Discernment is different from skepticism. Discernment is not the same as being critical or criticism or being cynical. Discernment is of the Spirit. It's not the gift of suspicion. No. It's of the Spirit. Because your spirit are so mingled with the Holy Spirit that you can discern what is in the heart of God. You can discern the will of God. And then you do the will of God. Glory to God. Ephesians 5:15. Ephesians 5 verse 15. See that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Next verse. It says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Next verse. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. As you walk in the Spirit, you begin to understand the will of God. Why? Because wisdom and discernment is granted you. Glory to God. Okay, go back to 15. Now give me an amplified version. Amplified. Shobarakataya. Brando koskatia. You begin to walk circumspectly. It says, look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully. Tell your neighbor, live purposefully and worthily and accurately. It says, not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people. Next verse. Making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity, because the days are evil. Next verse. Therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Number six. The sixth evidence of walking in the Spirit is what? The presence and power of God in your life. The presence and power of God in your life. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. You cannot walk in the Spirit and not carry the manifest presence of God. You cannot walk in the Spirit and be bankrupt of the power of God. Am I communicating? The manifest presence and power of the Spirit will find expression in your life. In Luke chapter 4 verse 1, the Bible says Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. But before the temptation came, Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. So he was able to overcome all the temptation from Satan. And then in Luke 4:14, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit, and the fame of him spread abroad. And then in Luke 4:18, Jesus took that scroll and saw the prophecy of Isaiah concerning him, the Messiah. Isaiah 61 verse 1, Jesus quoted, he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to bind the brokenhearted, to open blind eyes, to set the captives free, to declare the opening of prison to them that are bound, to declare the acceptable year of the Lord. Hallelujah. The power, the presence and power of the Spirit is evidence that you are walking in the Spirit. Konda barakata. So both the fruit of the Spirit and the gift of the Spirit, they manifest in your life. There is the supply of the Spirit. Philippians 1:19, Paul said, I know this shall turn for my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. When you walk in the Spirit, there will be the supply of the Spirit in your life. Isaiah 32:15, it says, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness shall become a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be counted for a forest. There is a mighty supply of the Spirit. When you walk in the Spirit, you enjoy and experience the supply of the Spirit. Galatians 3:5, New King James Version. It talks about the supply of the Spirit. Galatians 3 verse 5, give me New King James Version. He therefore he who supplies the Spirit. He who supplies the Spirit. Somebody say the supply of the Spirit is one of the evidence of walking in the Spirit. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles. See, the supply of the Spirit brings about mighty miraculous manifestation. Miracles, signs, wonders, they are all byproduct of the supply of the Spirit. And works miracle among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Of course, the answer is he does it by the hearing of faith. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Then the last one, number seven. The seventh evidence of walking in the Spirit is unusual grace and favor. Genesis 6 verse 8. Unusual grace and favor. Manda barakataya. When you walk in the Spirit, you enjoy the presence and power of God. And when you walk in the Spirit, His presence gives you favor. Moses said, if I have found grace in your sight, His presence is the headquarters of grace, is the secret of grace. His presence will give you favor like a flood. You begin to enjoy fierce favor. Manda barakataya is a major secret of favor. Genesis 6 verse 8. At a time that God was planning to destroy the world by flood, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Give me NIV. He found grace. And if you study, Noah was the only person during that period that walked with God. He walked with God. Others were walking in the flesh. Others were doing other things. For him, he walked with God. He feared God. He walked with God. And he found favor with God. He found grace in the eyes of God. NIV said, Noah found favor. Say with me, in the name of Jesus, I enjoy unusual grace and unusual favor as I walk in the Spirit. Romans 5:17 says, if by one man's offense death reigned by one, but much more they which receive abundance of grace or overflowing grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. So you enjoy overflowing grace, you enjoy abundance of grace as you walk in the Spirit. 2 Peter 1:2 is that grace and peace be multiplied. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. And this unusual release of grace and favor causes you to enjoy extraordinary results. It produces extraordinary results and supernatural accomplishments. You enjoy extraordinary results, you produce extraordinary results, and you produce supernatural accomplishment. You begin to do exploit. You enjoy supernatural fruitfulness. Jesus said, he that abides in me, if you abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. So fruitfulness, supernatural fruitfulness, flows from intimacy with God. As you abide with him in communion, in fellowship, as you walk with him, the grace for supernatural fruitfulness is released. And fruitfulness talks about producing extraordinary results in every area of your life. Rise to your feet. The first evidence, I said, of walking in the Spirit is revelation knowledge of God. You get to know him personally, experientially. The second thing I mentioned, second evidence, is divine transformation. Third one, real Bible faith is born in your heart. Number four, your love and passion for God and the things of God. Number five, wisdom and discernment is granted you as you walk in the Spirit. Number six, the presence and power of God is manifested in your life when you walk in the Spirit. Then number seven, you receive and enjoy unusual grace and favor for extraordinary results and to produce supernatural accomplishments, supernatural fruitfulness. I want you to lift up your voice. Our time is fast spent. 1-2 minutes. Say, Father, I receive grace to manifest all this evidence as I walk in the Spirit. Lift up your voice and pray. The grace to know him. Paul said that I may know him. Job said, I have heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see thee. Kalida borabaska brande kepura katia. Combregedesco fra palatina. Bondrabakasida. Borabakasata. Baratiza. As you walk in the Spirit, you get to know God by revelation. Barasuvretia. You get to know him. For the people that do know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits. As you walk in the spirit, you enjoy divine transformation. You are transformed into the image of Christ. More and more, you become more and more like him. Your mind is renewed. As you behold him as in a mirror, you are transformed, you are changed, you are metamorphosed from glory to glory. Jesus said, come and follow me, I will transform you to become. You become Christ-like in your character. You become Christ-like in your conviction. You become Christ-like in charisma. You become Christ-like in competence. You become Christ-like in capacity. You begin to grow spiritually. You stop playing religion. The conviction concerning your faith crystallizes. You develop a concrete, rock solid conviction of the faith. Kalabasopolekida. The faith of the Son of God wells up in your spirit. It comes alive. La batiza brande kepalatai. You begin to walk in faith. You begin to manifest Bible faith. Kala brande kepo. You begin to love God. Passionate love and hunger for him. Love for his word. Hunger for his presence. Hunger for his word. You begin to love the house of God. You begin to love the people of God. Leader Bashatai. You begin to obey his voice. You live a life of obedience. Libaronde kesi brakatai. You hate what God hates and you love what God loves. You begin to reference and honor him. You sanctify him in your heart. You sanctify him in your life. La baroskete brekete. You depart from iniquity. You say no to sin. La kido kapatai. As you walk in the spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. As you walk in the spirit, the grace to tame the flesh, the grace to subdue the lust of the flesh is released. As you walk in the spirit, you deaden the transactions of the body. As you walk in the spirit, you walk in dominion over sin. You walk in dominion over Satan. You walk in dominion over the works of the flesh. As you walk in the spirit, wisdom and discernment is granted you. You begin to understand the times and the season. You have the wisdom to discern and do God's perfect will per time. You have the wisdom to discern the will of God, to prove what is the good, perfect and acceptable will of God. Wisdom for making the right decision. Wisdom for planning. Wisdom for success. Wisdom to prosper is granted you. You begin to walk circumspectly. You are not unwise, but you understand what the will of the Lord is. Oh, Lambarondo Sobrahadia, Kelebora Siva Balatanas. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Now, right now, if you are here under the sound of my voice or you are following online, I want to give you this opportunity. Perhaps you just know about God. You don't know God yet. I want to give you this opportunity for a relationship with God. You want to know this God because we are living in the end times. These are perilous times. Times that will shake your conviction. Times that so many are already compromising. You want to know God for yourself. You want to know him experientially. You want a personal relationship with Jesus. You want to surrender your life to him. I want you to lift up your right hand wherever you are. Lift it up. Oh yes, to surrender to him. To come to meet him. You are tired of playing religion. You want reality. You want real relationship. A qualitative walk with God. I want you to lift up your right hand. And if you are lifting up your right hand, carry your Bible, your bag, your journal. Come and meet me in front right now. I would love to pray for you to kickstart a most fulfilling and fruitful relationship with Jesus. You want to know him in reality, not in theory. You want to surrender your life to him. You want to be reconciled to Him. Or perhaps you did that before, but you want to rededicate your life to Him right now. Come and meet me in front. I would love to pray for you. If there is anyone like that, please quickly come forward. And in case you are following online, stand in front of the device you are using to stream this service. I would like to pray for you. I want you to say this prayer. Believe it from the depth of your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for my sins. On the third day, you were raised for my justification. I confess with my mouth that you are my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. I receive eternal life into my spirit. In Jesus' name.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Sazon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.